You notice in the bulletin, I'm going to preach on the subject this morning, is God getting what he paid for? Is God getting what he paid for? We read those two verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 19 starts out with the word what? What? With a question mark after it. It's a word that the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit uses to get our attention. He's saying, what? Hadn't anybody reminded you lately? Hadn't anybody told you lately? Don't you remember that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Doesn't just visit on Sunday. Doesn't just come on the Lord's Day. It's there day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When nobody else is there, the Holy Spirit is there and dwells within you. It says, and ye are not your own. Another question to grab our attention. Don't you know? Don't you remember? Hadn't anybody reminded you lately that you are the property of another? Somebody else holds title. Your life doesn't belong to yourself. It belongs to somebody else. And then in verse 20, it says, for ye are bought with a price. We're reminded of how much God paid. The Bible says we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible wants us to remember that even though salvation is free to us, even though salvation doesn't cost us a thing, it was very expensive to God. It cost God a great deal. Amen. It cost God his only begotten Son. And so, therefore, it says there in verse 20, therefore, and anytime you see that word in Scripture, you always got to go back and see why that word therefore is therefore. It usually ties two things together. And so what it's saying is, because ye are bought with a price, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost resides in you day and night, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, amen, which are God's. Now, some people have the mistaken idea that our spirit belongs to God and our body belongs to us. I want to tell you something this morning. When God purchased us, he purchased the whole lot. He purchased body and spirit. He paid for the whole package, and all of it belongs to him. My body belongs to God. I am just a guest. We get it backwards. We think that we're the owner and the Holy Spirit is the guest. That's not right. God paid for us. He owns us, so he's the owner and I'm the guest. He's the landlord, and I'm the tenant. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So a steward is somebody that takes care of the property of somebody else. So my body doesn't belong to me. Your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. We are stewards of that body. And so we are responsible for being faithful and taking care of it. Now, listen. Let's suppose that you invited me over for dinner. And you said, preacher, here's a glass of sweet iced tea. Just set here. I got a few things to go finish in the kitchen. And you go into the kitchen, and all of a sudden you hear a big banging noise. And you come back out to where I'm sitting and you find me tearing down one of your walls. And you say, preacher, what are you doing? And I'm saying, well, I didn't like that wall where it was, so I'm going to move it. You say, I don't want that wall moved. And it said, well, I say, well, I'm a welcome guest. I think I ought to have the right to move the wall. And you say, you're not a welcome guest anymore. Get out of here. You would have every right to say that because that house doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. In the same way, my body does not belong to me. Your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Amen. It belongs to God. He bought us. Body and spirit. He holds the title. He owns the deed. He's the owner. If that's true, if God owns my body, I have no right to take it anywhere that he doesn't want it to go. If that's true, and it is, and God owns my body, I have no right to dress it in a way that's displeasing to him. If that's true, and it is, God owns my body, I have no right to use it any way that will bring dishonor to him. I have no right to do that. If God owns my body, and he does, I have no right to withhold it from the owner. So this morning I ask you a simple question. Is God getting what he paid for? Did you ever buy anything and get it, and you were disappointed when you got it? I mean, I know some people, and I understand my future wife is a big fan of this, Madeline, so we're going to have some talk about this when we get. But I understand she likes to watch these home shopping channels. So I was over there for a little bit last night with him, visiting with her and her kids and one of her granddaughters, and she had QVC on the TV. I said, what are you watching that for? Oh, she said, I'd like to watch that. I said, you never buy anything from them, do you? Oh, yeah, all the time. So I can see we're going to have our first discussion about something. Now, I don't want any of you telling her that I said that this morning, okay? So you watch those home shopping channels, and they show you the product, and they promote it, and they say all things. This is the characteristics of the product. This is what it'll do, and you're so impressed, you say, I've got to have one. And so you order it, and you pay your money. It comes in the mail. It doesn't look like it did on TV. It doesn't do what it did on TV. It's not any resemblance at all. And you had a high expectation. I mean, you ordered it with the expectation that it was going to be exactly like they showed it on TV and do exactly what it did on TV, and you get it, and it doesn't look like it, and it doesn't do it, and you are disappointed. And the more you pay for it, the higher your expectations, and the greater your disappointment when it comes and doesn't live up to the expectations. That channel is of the devil. It ought to be taken off the air. Madeline, I don't want you to tell her a word of this. How do you think God feels? How do you think God feels? He has purchased us. We belong to him. And again, is he getting what he paid for? Sometimes we go to a restaurant, you know, they have these pictures with menus, and the dish looks so good. And you say, I just got to have one. And you order that dish, and you get it, and you're so disappointed. It just doesn't live up to the billing. And again, how does God feel when he doesn't get what he paid for? I want you to stop and consider for a few seconds this morning what God paid for you and I. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to remind you this morning, when we were sinners, when we were apart from God, when we didn't care about God at all, God gave his only begotten Son. Not one son of many, but his only begotten Son to die in our place. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 18, No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Jesus was not murdered at Calvary. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have spoke a word and the nails fly out of his hands and his feet. He could have said a word and the soldiers would have been dismissed and be gone. And he could have come down from the cross. But God loved us so much, he was willing to pay a price to send his only begotten Son. And that Son was willing to lay down his life for sinners like you and I. What did it cost God to keep us out of hell? What did it cost for him to purchase our salvation? Just think about it. The Prince of Heaven, the one who sat at the right hand of God and received the worship of the angels that are in heaven, left that place, left the splendor and glory of heaven, came to earth, lived in poverty, lived in obscurity for 30 years. He died the death of a criminal. This one who had never committed a crime. This one who had never even had a wicked thought. This one who had never done a wicked deed. Died the death of a criminal. He became sin who knew no sin. He became sin for us and took it upon himself. In the Garden of Eden, he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup from pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." He wasn't praying to avoid the cross. He came knowing that the cross laid before him. He came, and the Bible says his face was set like a flint toward the cross. He knew the cross was there. He wasn't praying that he avoid the cross, but he knew what the cross involved. He knew on the cross he would have to bear the sin of all mankind. Every sin of every man for all time would be laid on him, and he would have to bear that price. And he was asking God, if there's any other way, if there's any other way that we can take care of sin other than me bearing that sin, make it so. But if not, thy will be done. In Isaiah 53 verse 10, it says that he gave his soul an offering for sin. What did it cost God to keep us out of hell? What did it cost God to buy our salvation? What did it cost him? The Son of God, who for all eternity had sweet fellowship with God the Father, as he hung on the cross between those 3 hours when the sun was darkened, and God the Father had to turn his back, had to break his fellowship with his only begotten Son. As that happened, that's what it cost God to keep us out of hell. That's what it cost God to purchase our salvation. Breaking fellowship for the first time in all eternity with his only begotten Son. He turned his back on Jesus. Jesus cried out from the cross, not my Father, but my God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? He knew the answer to the question. He knew why. He knew it was because of sin. It was our sin, not his. It was our wrongdoing, not his. What did it cost? What did it cost God to keep us out of hell? What price did he pay? It involved all the physical suffering and the anguish that Jesus had to go through on the cross. In Isaiah 52, verse 14, the Bible says, "And many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form, man, more than the sons of man." He was beaten beyond recognition. The crown of thorns was put on his head. People spit in his face. They pulled the beard from his chin. They tied him to a post and whipped him with a cat of nine tails, a whip with nine lashes with a piece of metal or a rock or a piece of glass tied to each thong of that whip. 39 times they whipped him with that cat of nine tails. The Jewish historian Josephus says many people undergoing the beating of and the whipping before the crucifixion didn't even make it to the cross. They died as that whip pulled off the skin and flesh from their back. That's what it cost God to buy our salvation. That's what it cost God to keep us out of hell. It's free to us, but it wasn't cheap to God. It wasn't cheap to Jesus. He endured the agony of the crucifixion. They threw a heavy crossbeam on his back. Bible says he fell beneath the load. He came to Mount Calvary. They nailed him to that crossbeam. They hoisted him up to the cross. The Bible says all his bones came out of joint. Not a one was broken, but they all came out of joint. Crucifixion was a slow, agonizing way to die. People died because they suffocated. Because they were hung there, they had to pull themselves up to just take a breath of air. And can you imagine? Just imagine, this is what it cost God to keep us out of hell. His son was beaten with a cat of nine tails. His back was open and bloody. And against that old wooden rugged cross, he pulled himself up time after time after time, scraping his open back on the splinters of that cross just to breathe. That's what it cost God to save us. That's what it cost God to keep us out of hell. Oh, what love for sinners God and Jesus had for us. The Roman soldier stuck a spear into his side. The Bible says that blood and water came out. It cost God a lot to keep us out of hell. Is he getting what he paid for? Do you realize that it costs God just as much to keep you and I out of hell as it did to keep the Apostle Paul out of hell? It cost him just as much to keep us out of hell as it did the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John. It cost God just as much to keep us out of hell as it did any of the Bible heroes that we read about in the New Testament. If in totality 100 million people get saved, and I don't know what the number is, I wouldn't even care to guess at it. I'm just using it as an example. If 100 million people get saved, doesn't mean that it just took one 100th million to save us. It took all of the gospel to save every single person. And I believe with all my heart, if Daryl Manning was the only sinner, if I was the only one that broke God's law, if I was the only one that came short of his glory, that Jesus Christ would have died for me. Amen. And I believe that if you were the only sinner, the Son of God, the holy, righteous, perfect Son of God, would have come and done on Calvary what he did just for you. Amen. That's what it cost God to keep us out of hell. That's what it cost God to save us. Is he getting what he paid for? Is he? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, it's only reasonable that we give our bodies to God. It's only reasonable that we let him use them as the owner of our bodies. It's only reasonable that we give him our service. It's only reasonable. He paid a great price for us. He bought us lock, stock, and barrel. He brought us spirit and body. We completely own him. And he says, the Apostle Paul says in Romans verse chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you need to present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We need to present our bodies to God and say, here I am, I'm yours, I belong to you. Now use me any way you want. Any way you want, use me. In Mark chapter 14, there's a story of a woman that came to Jesus. She brought an alabaster box of ointment and anointed his feet. Some folks in the room were upset that day. They said, we could have sold this oil and we could have used the money and helped feed the poor. And Jesus said, don't bother. Let her alone. She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. I'll never be an Apostle Paul. I'll never be like Peter. I can't be a John, but I can do what I can do. I can do what I should, and so can you. Amen. You belong to God. He paid the price, a great price, for you. Is he getting what he paid for? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, all those things that I've talked about, he did for you. He did for you. He loved you enough. He went to the cross. He gave his life. He suffered. He bled for you. And the Bible says that if you'd receive him, he'll give you the power to become one of the sons of God if you believe on his name. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you just need to come in just a minute. We'll take this book, the Bible, and we'll show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian this morning, and most of us are, here's the question I want you to answer. God paid a price for you. Is he getting what he paid for? Is he getting what he paid for? In just a second, we're going to have the invitation. I would remind you this morning, this is the day that the Congressional Congress has asked us to pray for our country.
It's the day that they've asked us to kneel before our God. And they didn't tell us how long to pray. They just said, spend some time today praying for our country, that God would just get to the root of all the hate and all the evil that we're seeing in our day and would just remove it. Remove it. I'd like to invite you during the invitation, if you'd like to come up to the altar, come up to one of the front pews that are empty if you can't kneel at the altar, and spend a moment praying for the United States of America. Prayer still works. Prayer still gets a prayer can still get a hold of God, and anything that God can do, prayer can do. Prayer can do. So if you're saved, you need to come. You see me. I'll have somebody take the Bible, show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian, you'd have to say this morning, preacher, God's not getting what he paid for, then you come and you give yourself back to God. You give him your body. And if you'd just like to come and pray for our country, you feel free to come during the time of invitation to do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for loving us so much, for paying the great price that you did for our salvation. When we think about it, sometimes it just overwhelms us how much you love us and what you did to pay for our sin. And I pray, Father, that we'd make a new commitment this morning to live for you, to let you use our bodies, not our own, but yours, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let you use our bodies any way you want to use them. Speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Rebuke us if we need to be rebuked. Encourage us if we need to be encouraged. Just do in our lives this morning, Holy Spirit, what needs to be done, what only you can do, and help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.